To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
And your home for Royals baseball.
Fastball hit high in the air, deep left field, way gone into the bleachers. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
Watch The Drive by subscribing on our YouTube channel or listen on demand with the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is always going to stand on principle. Dippin' Dots are incredible. Red Lobster is the best restaurant that America has to offer. And baked beans are trash.
You're listening to Kansas City's FM Sports Station, 96.5 The Fan. Here's C-Dot.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Very happy to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We have a lot to get into in today's show. We will start our look ahead to Sunday Night Football. Sean Pendergast of Sports Radio 610 down in H-Town, he is going to be on the show. I got a chance to catch up with Dennis Gates earlier today. We'll play part of that conversation for you as Missouri gets prepared to play Kansas coming up on Sunday. Joshua Briscoe is going to join us in studio in the 3 o'clock hour. We have a busy, busy slate as we get you ready for Sunday Night Football. We actually have a mystery that we need to get into, and we'll do that coming up in just a bit. But before we do any of that, I need to remind you guys a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend to check out the show. And number three, and most importantly, I need you guys to remember that the open of the show each and every day is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. So if you want to stop in today and watch a very important Thursday Night Football game that could decide who makes the playoffs, what better place to do it than with our friends over at The Other Place? All right, this is what I want to get into. Let's hop back in the Wayback Machine to try to solve this mystery. Because yesterday we had a special edition of Spec Says, and I didn't really pay too much attention to this. Rob, if I remember correctly, you also didn't pay too much attention to this. But this was a big deal to Steven Spector, and it was a big deal to some of you guys. This is what yesterday's Spec says.
All right, Andy Reid said today that if Jawan Taylor doesn't play this Sunday, then it's Wanya Morris at left tackle and Jalen Moore at right tackle. And I just say, why? If your thought is that you're preparing Jalen Moore to play right tackle in 2026 because Jawan Taylor is no longer on the roster, that's crazy. That is what the offseason is for. That is what training camp is for. It is not for real-time reps on Sunday Night Football against one of the best defensive lines in the entire league. The best left tackle needs to play left tackle Sunday night against the Texans. And the best left tackle between Wanya Morris and Jalen Moore is Jalen Moore. We saw Wanya Morris less than 12 months ago playing left tackle for this team, and it was an abject disaster. Wanya Morris was a right tackle in college. Let him play right tackle in the pros. But it is a disservice to Patrick Mahomes. It is a disservice to the rest of the offense. And really, it's a disservice to a lot of the Chiefs fans who sat and watched Wanya Morris play left tackle last year.
So that was Steven Spector in a Spec Says. And my logic was, just based off how I think they're thinking in this mystery and trying to solve it, well, Will Anderson is going to line up primarily on that right side, so you want to put your better offensive lineman over there to try to slow down one of the best pass rushers in the National Football League. You guys had a lot of pushback, and that's perfectly fine. But then as I've done more reading, I've done more digging, some things are not starting to make sense here. The reason why this is important, I think this is the biggest talking point, the biggest game point in this game. It is the fact that I would say the strength of the Houston Texans are in them having two all-pro caliber pass rushers. They have one pass rusher who has 11 sacks this season. The other one has 10.5 sacks this season. The Chiefs have 22 sacks as a team this year. So with just two guys on that Texans defense, they have as many sacks as the Chiefs do cumulatively with everybody there. That is a worry for me heading into this, because you were going into this not with Josh Simmons, who we think has a chance to be a future all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber left tackle. This is not going into it with Jawan Taylor. This is going into it with Wanye Morris and Jalen Moore on your left and your right tackle. So as I'm trying to figure this thing out, I'm thinking, you know, hey, maybe it's justified. You guys know the respect that I have for Mitchell Schwartz. He's an all-pro at playing tackle. Friend of the show. He tweeted this out. It makes zero sense to me why the Chiefs would have Wanye Morris play left tackle and have Jalen Moore at right tackle. I would love to know their reasoning. Someone then tweeted our dear friend Mitchell Schwartz and said, it's probably because Wanye stinks at right tackle even more than at left. Mitchell Schwartz, who I assume is an expert on this, says that's not true. So you got a guy who played the position at an incredibly high level, a guy who one day has a chance to be in the Chiefs' Ring of Honor, a guy who has played in and won a Super Bowl, saying this doesn't make any sense. That's different to me than hearing it from Steven Spector. That's different to me than hearing it from the random texter in Olathe. And no disrespect to that person, but I go to Mitchell Schwartz for this kind of stuff about O-line play. He is saying this doesn't make any sense. And then Nate Taylor, another friend of the show, someone who's going to be on the show tomorrow and going to sit right here in this chair across from me. He also had the same suspicions. His antennas are perked up. This doesn't make any sense.
My theory is this has to be a smokescreen, right? Because technically you did put it on tape because the game did not go the way you anticipated in Dallas, right? Hey, if Jawan Taylor gets hurt at halftime or he can't go in the second half, okay, well, the answer is, hey, you have to play Jalen Moore. He is your next guy up. Okay, totally makes sense. Uh-oh, there goes Josh Simmons' wrist. So, all right, well, we don't have, you know, we have Wanye Morris. We could do that. But I think it's a philosophical question about what Andy Heck and Andy Reid want from their backup tackles, where it's, hey, if you're on the field already, we don't necessarily want to switch positions in the middle of the game. Based on, you know, practice reps and all the things that happened, you know, leading up to the game. By the way, they only had one practice from, you know, beating the Colts to playing the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. All right, well, let me just put that out there in a press conference so that maybe the Houston Texans will, like, treat it with, you know, validity. But, like, I understand why fans are, you know, up in arms about the possibility of Wanye Morris at left tackle when we've actually seen him play pretty well at right tackle on occasion, especially during his rookie season.
I don't have any idea what's going on. Maybe you guys do. 913-586-7965. I try not to leave things in your hands so early on in the show. I try to open the show with something I'm definitive about, something that I feel very strongly about. I don't know what's going on. Everybody around me is telling me this doesn't make any sense. The boss man is telling me this. A former all-pro right tackle was telling me this doesn't make any sense. The number one beat writer for the team is telling me this doesn't make any sense. Rob, is there a potential that the Chiefs are just pulling our leg here? That Ashton Kutcher is going to jump out of the bush at any minute and we're going to be on an episode of Punked? I mean, we'll get the official answer tomorrow, I believe. That's normally when Andy announces these kind of things. Is it possible that's what they're doing? Maybe they're trying to throw Houston off the scent a little bit and switch things up. Because I got to listen to these people. What's the purpose of having them on the show? What's the purpose of going to them for their information if I'm not going to trust what they're saying? Everybody around me is saying this stinks. This is a bad plan. And you know what I don't want going up against Will Anderson? A bad plan. You know what I don't want going up against Danielle Hunter? You know what I don't want going up against the number one defense in the National Football League? A bad offensive plan. And a major reason for that is I've seen how the Chiefs offense looks when Pat doesn't trust the five guys in front of him. It's bad when he doesn't trust them. And you are heading into a matchup in which you are going to have to display trust in their offensive line. You can't win this game if you don't trust your offensive line. And the Pat that's running around and scrambling and not confident and not using his fundamentals, not staying center, not using his base, that is always when the Chiefs find themselves in a world of trouble. And just a couple of weeks ago, I saw Will Anderson. I saw him wreck Buffalo's game plan. Now, I don't think Will Anderson's getting 6-7 sacks in this game the way that they did a couple of weeks ago. But I'm telling you that the ingredients, the smell in the air is that is a possibility if the Chiefs are going into this with a bad plan at tackle. The Chiefs have not shown me over the last 3-4 years that they can overcome a bad plan at tackle, not against a good defensive line and not for a prolonged period of time. So we can take phone calls on this. I want to retext Rob. I want to get your opinion on this, but it is something that has my antennas all the way. Huh? What? No one seems to like this plan. No one seems to think that this is a good plan. And you are going up against quite possibly the two best Russian combo right now in the National Football League. You better have all your ducks in a row or it will be a long Sunday going up against that defense. Because that defense not only is super talented when we're talking about the D-line, they also might have the best secondary in the National Football League and arguably the best corner in Derek Stingley. So this is a defense that can take the football away from you. This is also a defense that can get after the other team's quarterback and really, really create pressure, which can cause a lot of problems for your offense. Coming up on the other side, we're going to head to Houston to be joined by Sean Pendergast. We'll also read your text. What do you make of this? Nate Taylor thinks that it could be a smokescreen and the Chiefs could be fooling us all and Jalen Moore could end up playing left tackle. We'll talk about that. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Sean Pendergast. He is with Sports Radio 610 down in Houston, Texas. Sean, always happy to catch up with you, my man.
Carrington, how you doing, man? Happy holidays.
Absolutely, man. Fantastic to have you on, man. Let's just start with this. What's turned around for this Texans team? They got off to a super slow start at the very beginning of the season, and they have now turned into one of the hotter teams in the league. What's changed with the Texans?
Yeah, it's funny because the thing that's getting the most attention nationally in this turnaround that they've had has been the defense. And the fact of the matter is that the defense has been playing at this level, the same level that it's been playing on during this four-game winning streak, really practically all year long. You know, they went 0-3 to start the season, but it was 3-1 score games that they could have made plays at the end of the games. They were very close games, but they were games where the offense was just playing horribly. This offense was at or near the bottom of the league in a lot of the statistics through the first, you know, really through their, I would say, like the 2-4 start that they had. They were 3-5 at one point, and then ironically, Davis Mills comes in for a concussed C.J. Stroud, and it seems like the offense has figured some things out. They're not great. It's not a great offense, but unlike last season when C.J. Stroud was second in the league in sacks, and you know, in sacks taken behind Caleb Williams, the offensive line is protecting, whether it's Davis Mills or C.J. Stroud, at a pretty good rate right now. They're running the ball decently, and they've started to get some contributions from some of the rookies that they drafted, namely Woody Marks, who's become their lead running back, and Jaden Higgins, who's become a really nice number two to Nico Collins in the passing game. So I would say probably the biggest thing is just improvement offensively, protecting the football and protecting the quarterback.
Let's keep it with the offense. Let's talk about C.J. Stroud. You mentioned it. He had a concussion. He didn't play for four games. He was back on Sunday as the Texans go on the road and beat the Indianapolis Colts. What did you notice from Stroud? I saw some comments that Stroud said that he started to kind of get some of the rust off as they got into the second half of the game. What did you notice from him as they got back their franchise quarterback?
I think the biggest thing, yeah, he was rusty at first, although they marched right down the field and had to kick a foot like they've done a lot this year. They're not a good red zone team. He looked decent on the first drive, but then, yeah, there were some hiccups in the first half. Namely, the biggest one was an interception that he just sailed, really bad throw. I think the biggest thing that I noticed out of C.J. Stroud, two things on Sunday. One, he was much more comfortable than he has been kind of stepping up in the pocket and not retreating from the pocket or bailing out early. He looked a lot more like rookie C.J. Stroud, who ironically was probably the most comfortable version that we've seen of him since he came into the league. The offensive line woes last year did a lot of damage to C.J. that he's just now kind of shaking off. I think the other thing, Carrington, that we saw was that each time that Indianapolis went down the field and scored a touchdown, C.J. was able to engineer a drive that responded with a touchdown. He was very resilient in that game. And that hasn't always been the case this year. You know, when they were going 0-3 to start the year, there was a lot of body language analysis going on with C.J. Stroud and behavior analysis going on with C.J. Stroud. You know, he's just not somebody who's used to losing a ton. So I think that's the biggest thing. He showed some resiliency within the game, and I think he looked a little more comfortable in the pocket, especially as the game went on.
Right now, we're talking to Sean Pendergast with Sports Radio 610 in Houston, getting you ready for Sunday Night Football as Houston travels to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. Sean, let's switch over to the defense, where I think that the Texans have the biggest advantage in this game. It's Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. going up against backup tackles for the Kansas City Chiefs. I watched a lot of Chiefs football over these last couple years. When the Chiefs have been deficient in tackle, their offense has just not been able to work, and that's what scares me most heading into this matchup. Let's focus in on those two. Let's also talk about this defense that is arguably the best in the league.
Yeah, Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter are, I mean, they're violent and dangerous and really smart in how they go about things as well. I think that's the, just starting with that defensive line, which obviously the two of them are the catalyst for. I would say probably the biggest thing is that it's not just their ability to get to the quarterback collectively as a unit, and I'll include the defensive tackles in there. The way that they rush, the discipline that they rush with, the way that they don't run past the quarterback, which is huge in a matchup with Patrick Mahomes, that you're closing off those escape lanes that he can, you know, use to get out and then wreak havoc, either throwing on the run or scrambling himself. If you watch that Thursday night game against the Buffalo Bills, yeah, they sacked Josh Allen 8 times, but the biggest thing I thought was that they bottled him up and he only had 4 rushing attempts the whole game. He only really got out and escaped 1 time for 14 yards. It's not just getting the quarterback on the ground. It's the constant pressure and the ability to keep mobile quarterbacks in the pocket. The linebackers are extremely violent. Aziz Al-Shaair, Henry Toa, just, you know, tackle machines. They played really disciplined. They've been very good against play action this year, whereas last year they weren't. They were a good defense last year, but they gave up a lot of big plays because they bit on play action. They're one of the top defenses against play action this year. And then on the back end, they're just dynamite. I mean, the two corners, Kamari Lassiter, who, by the way, has not practiced this week, so that's something to keep an eye on. But Derek Stingley Jr. is the best cornerback in football. So they're outstanding on the outside. Jalen Petrie is sort of a jack of all trades. You know, if you're a Chiefs fan and you're looking at the depth chart, he's listed as a safety. But he comes up and plays sort of a hybrid linebacker. He plays in the slot. He's just a playmaker. And then Kalen Bullock, who in that Buffalo game, a lot of people sort of discovered around the country, who forced 3 turnovers in that game, 2 picks and a fumble. He's been outstanding in his second year out of USC. So they are young. They're good. And, you know, it's all 3 levels. There's really not a huge weakness. They're not great in the red zone. They're not great in the red zone. And that's about all I can say. Like everything else, they're really, really, they're first in points and first in yards. It's a really good defense.
That's interesting you say that about Stingley. I think a lot of people would say that Surtain's the best corner in the league. You think it's Stingley?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's Stingley. I think the overall package they were the 2 first team all pro cornerbacks. So it's, you know, they're 1 and 2 in some order. I just think Stingley, some of the things he's able to do with his body control and his hands, I think he could play wide receiver if he wanted to. The LSU people talk about that all the time, how they wanted him to do things both ways when he was at LSU. They're both great. Obviously, Surtain's the reigning defensive player of the year, but Derek Stingley Jr. is just he does things that just mesmerize.
Right now, we're talking to Sean Pendergast, taking a closer look at the Houston Texans heading into Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs. I think you got to give Houston a lot of credit. I think you got to give them credit for this. I think it's easy to kind of poke holes in teams' resumes, like, oh, who have they beaten? You can't do that with this Texans team. They beat San Francisco. They beat Jacksonville. They beat Buffalo. They went on the road and beat Indianapolis. Like, this team is a legitimate threat, and this is exactly where you want to be, playing your best football heading into the final month of the regular season.
Yeah. Well, I would say, too, now I feel like I'm going into college football playoff committee mode. But if you look at their losses, their losses are all by 1 score. The losses to start the 0-3, you know, the 0-3 start, they lost by 1 score to the Rams. And they fumbled the ball with 2 minutes left in Rams territory. They were a 4th-and-10 stop away, and they should have stopped the Bucs on that Monday night game. They're leading their division. You know, they did lose to the Jags early in the season, and they were able to beat them again back here in Houston. Seattle was another one of their losses, and I'm missing one. But and Denver. They lost to Denver in the game where CJ got concussed in the first quarter. CJ Stroud, if he stays healthy, they probably win that game at home. So, yeah, there have been no, like, super clunkers or anything like that for them. They're in every game. That's due to the defense. This defense is going to keep them in every game. If the offense is getting stymied on Sunday night, it's going to be a close game because the defense will keep them in the game. They're not going to get blown out. And I think you give DeMeco Ryans a lot of credit for keeping the team together through an 0-3 and a 3-5 start. You know, you see a lot of teams around the league that start to point fingers and snipe and things like that. And DeMeco's done a really good job of keeping the guys focused.
Sean, I actually have not been very popular this week. I'm actually picking Houston to win this game. I think Houston is playing a better brand of football, and I trust Houston more than I trust Kansas City at this point. I also think that Houston's going to turn around and win their division. If they win this game and they're 8-5, and then you got Arizona and Vegas in back-to-back weeks at home, and this Colts team to me is starting to leak a lot of oil, I think this Houston's team could be the team that's dangerous heading into the playoffs that nobody wants to play.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on in a vacuum. I agree with you totally about the Texans, Carrington. The issue in the division right now is that Jacksonville's schedule is not all that tough the rest of the way. Jacksonville's got a game against Tennessee. They've got a game against the Jets. Now, we've seen Jacksonville through the years. Look, they could have clinched the division 2 years ago and lost to Tennessee in Week 18, and the Texans ended up winning the division that day. They play the Colts twice starting this weekend, so that gets to be a tricky thing for Texan fans because they're a game back of both of those teams right now. So, like, who do we root for? Do we root for the Colts? Do we root for the Jags? We're behind both of them. One of them's going to win. One of them's going to lose. I think we're rooting for the Colts just because there are a couple more losses on that Colts schedule than there are on that Jags schedule just going the rest of the way. But, yeah, as far as the Texans go, and picking them in the game this weekend, I'm picking them, too, in a close game just because I feel like everything's moving in the right direction. And if not now, when? But there are a lot of demons that get exercised for the Texans if they win this game because they've not been a great team in prime time the last couple of years, that Buffalo game a couple weeks ago notwithstanding. They've not been great on the road in prime time. They've not been great in cold weather. They certainly have not been great against the Chiefs, period, the last few years. So there's a lot going on just in terms of exercise demons. And I think there's for I say longtime Texan fans, but for Texan fans, people have been fans of the Texans back in the Deshaun Watson era when that 24-0 lead in a playoff game dissipated. I mean, you look at the fork in the road for the two franchises from that day. And I said it on our show today, from that day on, the Chiefs went to 5 Super Bowls. The Texans have had 5 different head coaches, literally, since that day. So I think there's a circle of life feeling to this game that we kind of helped give rise to the Chiefs dynasty that day, and that maybe we can maybe not kill the Chiefs dynasty and maybe not kill the season, but certainly put it on life support.
Sean, in all the years that you and I have talked to each other, I don't think you and I have ever really talked a whole lot of college football. Houston is a very weird market when it comes to college football. There's a lot of people that move there from New Orleans, so there's like a LSU feel to it. There's an A&M feel to it. Obviously, a lot of Longhorn fans there. I got 2 college football questions, and we'll get you out of here. Let's start with the LSU, Texas A&M situation, Ole Miss over the last couple of weeks. How much have you guys talked about Lane Kiffin?
A lot, just because I think that Lane Kiffin story is one that kind of transcends geography. You know, Lane Kiffin is a big personality. The state governor, the governor in Louisiana got involved when they fired Brian Kelly. And I'm a Notre Dame guy. I went to Notre Dame. So, this whole thing started with firing Brian Kelly, really, which is another story that I think transcends market just based on how acrimonious that whole thing was. So, yeah, we've talked quite a bit of that. Certainly way more than we normally do, Carrington, because the dynamic here in Houston, I mean, you kind of touched on it. There's so many different college football contingencies here that on the radio, if you start talking about one in depth, then it just turns off all the others. Whereas you talk about the Texans and everybody's listening, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. But that Lane Kiffin thing is something that everybody can relate to. So we've actually talked quite a bit about that and found great sources of entertainment from that.
Do you think that Texas should be in the college football playoff?
No, I don't. And I've been jousting with a lot of people on that. I just don't like the way Texas goes about their argument that first of all, I'm not a big fan of like, hey, let's not play hard games. And I understand what their argument is, but it ignores the fact that if you had won the Ohio State game, you'd be in incredible shape right now. The arguments of the people that say we shouldn't play this game anymore because we lost and XYZ happened ignores the fact that if you had won, then there's upside to a win in that. Like, there's no endeavor that you get into that has a degree of risk involved that doesn't have a reward and doesn't have a detriment to it. It's like sitting down at a blackjack table and getting angry that you lost. Like, well, no, but if the right cards had come out, you'd have won and you'd have more money. So that part bothers me. And I think a lot of the, and this is just the way social media is, a lot of the arguments that people try to make where they merely point out the good parts of their resume, I think the bad parts of Texas's resume get, they try to slough them off. You know, the loss to Florida obviously is awful. You lost to a 4-8 team by more than one score. You went to overtime in back-to-back weeks against Kentucky and Mississippi State. Kentucky's garbage. They fired their coach. Mississippi State is not great either. And you lost by 25 to Georgia. You know, so these are all things the committee looks at. Like, unless the committee completely reverses course on certain things, they've been pretty transparent about what they value. And, you know, that's So I don't think they should be. And those are nice wins they got, but I think there's a lot of negative on their resume too.
Sean, I'll get you out of here with this last thing. Give me your Chiefs win if scenario for Sunday Night Football. Give me your Texans win if scenario.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs win if they're able to, kind of what they did last year in the playoffs, Carrington. If they get heat on CJ Stroud and they get that offense moving, I don't know that there's anything the Chiefs are going to do offensively where I don't think they're going to make the Texans look bad on defense. You know, I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. It feels like an under game to me. And I feel like if they get heat on CJ Stroud and they force a couple turnovers, I think that's the if. I think if the Texans are able to control the clock like they've done in their wins, been really good at that, keep Mahomes on the sideline, and then put it on their defense, I think that's the formula for the Texans.
That is our guy, Sean Pendergast, joining us on the show. He is with Sports Radio 610 down in Houston. Sean, man, always great catching up with you, my man. Looking forward to Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning on our show, Carrington. Looking forward to that, too.
Absolutely, man. Can't wait to do it. That is Sean Pendergast joining us on the show today. Always happy to catch up with him. Rob, we got a little bit of breaking news.
The Drive. First to breaking news in Kansas City.
From the Manhattan Mercury, they have learned that Colin Klein will be introduced as K-State's head coach tomorrow, and the plan is to have him appear on Saturday afternoon at the men's basketball game at Bramlage Coliseum. K-State has a home game, I believe, on Saturday against Seton Hall, so things are certainly moving very quickly at Kansas State, as we expected. Yesterday, you get the announcement that Chris Kleiman was going to step down as the head coach, and now you get the new news that Colin Klein looks like he is going to accept the job and looks like he is going to be introduced tomorrow as the head coach at K-State University. I want to play for you guys the cuts that we had yesterday about this because we all kind of knew the direction that this was heading in. This is what John Kurtz had to say when we talked about this, about Colin Klein being the next head coach at K-State.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the most exciting moments for K-State fans. And this might not work. I mean, you mentioned like Brad Underwood coming back as an alum, that obviously would have likely worked. He's been an outstanding head coach, but this is almost the exact same situation to a T that happened with Texas Tech and Cliff Kingsbury. He was an alum, beloved alum, great quarterback on some of the best teams that they had had. He was a hotshot up and coming coach. He was an offensive coordinator at Texas A&M with Johnny Manziel, and they hired him and he was pretty mediocre as a head coach. So it may not work, but it is definitely something that everybody will get behind. You're going to get K-State's best shot, absolute best shot to make it work. And it's just something that you had to do.
I understand the risk that potentially go with this. And there are a lot of examples of this failing. I guess I would counter with, there are also a lot of examples of a lot of different coaches that fail. Like, there is no right way. There have been teams that did the Eli Drinkwitz hire, the inexperienced but up-and-coming mid-major coach, and you give them an opportunity. And Eli Drinkwitz has certainly worked at Missouri. We can also find examples of Kansas did the exact same thing. Hey, this is the up-and-coming coach. I can give you the retread coach example that worked, the one that didn't work. So I think we kind of pick and choose when we want to find those examples of, oh, well, this isn't the way to find your coach. I think that Colin Klein is one of the best young offensive coordinators in college football. I think he showed you that when he was at K-State the first time. I think he showed you that when he went to Texas A&M and they find themselves in the college football playoff. So if you already have a guy who was on the up and up, who looks like he was going to take over and be a head coach anyway, and maybe this is a guy that he maybe is at a level earlier than he should be. This is maybe a spot where you don't maybe have your first job after being an offensive coordinator where you go right into the Big 12. Maybe you go to like a mid-major school, a group of five school. You kind of cut your teeth there and then you get the jump up to that job. I mean, that's certainly an argument. But man, in 2025, if you're telling me you like the hire, you're willing to accept that it's going to be some learning on the fly, this is his first head coaching job, and you are prepared as a staff and as an organization, as a program, to give him all the resources that he possibly needs to have success, at least in the short term, I don't really see a lot of negatives. Sure, it could not work. That's a possibility that it doesn't work. But you know there's not going to be any scandal around the program. You know that you have a modern coach that can adapt to modern times. I mean, I don't think you can look at this as the if it doesn't work. I think you got to look at this as what if it does? And if it works, K-State has found their forever coach. They have found their next coach for the next 15, 20 years if this ends up working out. He's 36 years old. Can you see a scenario in which Colin Klein would leave for a bigger job? I think this has always been his destination. I want to be the head coach at Kansas State University. He is the head coach at Kansas State University. So if this thing works and you can get this thing rolling and get it on board where you're in conversations to win the Big 12, you're in conversations to compete for playoff spots, this is a move that sets you, like, you found your Gary Pinkel. That's what you're looking for if you're K-State.
First and foremost, before I get into Colin Klein being official, shout out to the Manhattan Mercury, man. They're undefeated on this thing. They were the first one on the Klein story, and now – I mean, they actually had the Klein story yesterday, and now on top of that, they have the he's going to be introduced at the press at the basketball game. There's a press conference tomorrow. Like, great job by the Manhattan Mercury. Like, I know there was like this thought by some K-Staters that they were frustrated the story got out ahead of when K-State wanted it. Who cares? Congrats to Manhattan Mercury. They're undefeated on these things. Secondarily, I understand why people will poke holes in Colin Klein. I do, because people will point to Scott Frost, and there are other examples of the alumni comes home and the alumni doesn't work. To an extent, I know it's cross sport, that's kind of what happened with Kim Anderson at Missouri. But it's no different than taking a swing at any coach and missing to me. That's how coaching searches work. It is not a guarantee. I mean, I'll circle back to Nebraska as my example. How many times has Nebraska missed in the coaching search? Like, you could say maybe Pelini was a hit, but then they fired him. Remember the Mike Riley era? That was a disaster. Scott Frost was a disaster. Like, coaching searches are inherently not 100% you're always going to get a hit. So Colin Klein has the same chance of success or failure that any coach they had hired was. So I think it has a chance to be a huge long-term success. And if it fails, I mean, he's still going to have his name retired in Manhattan. And unless he fails in just monumental flame out moments, which I don't anticipate, like I'm talking worse than Ron Prince, he's always going to be a true son there, and he has a chance to be their coach forever. Like, this is a good hire by K-State, but if you're knocking it, you could knock holes in any coaching hire made at any level, any school. Let's play the same game for all the P5 jobs. Well, Lane Kiffin's a job jumper. That's not a great hire by LSU. We can do that for everyone if we chose to.
I want to play this audio for you guys. This is Derek Young with K-State Online. Here he is talking about Colin Klein's ability to rile up the boosters.
And if there's going to be someone that takes over as head coach at Kansas State that can attract and conjure up the most financial resources available to really put together an amazing coaching staff and also, let's be honest, purchase really good players, nobody's going to be able to do that at Kansas State more than Colin Klein, because there's going to be donors that are essentially untapped up to this point that come out of the woodwork to support Colin Klein in his endeavor. He has that much approval and fanfare when it comes to Kansas State.
That is Derek Young, who covers K-State. So a really exciting time. The Manhattan Mercury is confirming that Colin Klein is going to have a press conference tomorrow in which he accepts to be the next head coach at Kansas State University. He also plans on being introduced at the basketball game. That's always a nice staple of the new college football hire, when he pops up at the basketball game and gets the standing ovation. That's going to be a really special time in Manhattan coming up on Saturday as they look to get back to their winning ways after losing three straight. They got a home game coming up on Saturday against Seton Hall. Coming up on the other side, Dave Portnoy of Barstool is going around the country and he is doing his one bite reviews. He has stopped in Kansas City, which got me thinking. I'll explain. Keep it right here. So drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. Joshua Briscoe is going to join us in studio. If you missed it, more breaking news coming out of Manhattan, Kansas. The Manhattan Mercury, they are reporting that Colin Klein will be introduced as K-State's football coach tomorrow, and that the plan is to have him pop up on Saturday afternoon at the men's basketball game at Bramlage Coliseum. So shout out to K-State. They are moving forward in their their football plans, and they are hiring a new coach, one of the top offensive coordinators in the country. All right, so let's take a quick detour, and I promise you we'll get back on track. So Dave Portnoy is the founder of Barstool. I know he is very controversial, very polarizing. I'm not even the biggest Dave Portnoy and Barstool fans, but I can't deny the popularity of One Bite. So One Bite, for those of you that are not hip to the internet, Dave Portnoy, the founder of Barstool, he goes around the country and he does pizza reviews. In quick 2-3 minute videos, he goes to a local pizza place, he tries the pizza place, he gives reviews. It has gotten insanely popular, like change local businesses. His brand, his certification can change your business's life. So while being here for the legalization of sports gambling in the state of Missouri, he is trying different pizza restaurants. So far, to my understanding, he has tried 3. Maybe there's been some other videos, but Rob, you and I watched it. We watched all 3 of the videos. He has been to Minsky's Pizza. He has been to Northeast Pizza. And he has been to Pizza Tassio. Friend of the show, Pizza Tassio. We love Pizza Tassio here. It got me thinking this. You know how we talk about the Mount Rushmore barbecue places that I think are pretty solidified? And that's no disrespect to Q39. You know I love Slaps Barbecue. I went to high school with the guy that started Slaps Barbecue. We know what the big four is when it comes to barbecue. It's the longstanding, iconic barbecue restaurants. There's some other great ones, but those are the pillars. Those are the foundational barbecue restaurants. I made the Kansas City Pizza Mount Rushmore. Now, I want to be clear, Rob. These are not all of my favorite pizza places in the city, but I do think if you are a tourist and you are coming to Kansas City and you do a Google review and you want to stop by and go to the most popular local places, I think these would be the top 4. Minsky's, Grinders, Waldo, and Caddyshack. I was going back and forth on Caddyshack because I think you can make an argument for Il Lazzarone to be on that list over Caddyshack. But people love Caddyshack pizza. Like, you will travel just down there, that area and that part of town, to go to Caddyshack just to get the pizza. I think that's the top 4. So text line, tell me if I'm off here. 913-586-7965. This is what I think the top 4 is. This is not my personal list. Like, I like Pizza Shuttle more than I like any of the places that are on this list. But I do not think that Pizza Shuttle is on the top 4 Mount Rushmore Kansas City pizza. I just don't think that. Minsky's, Grinders, Waldo, and Caddyshack. I think that's the Kansas City Pizza Mount Rushmore. Rob, do you agree, disagree? You taking something off the list?
I think you have to take Caddyshack off the list. Now, here's why. I think Caddyshack is to pizza what maybe not Slaps, but a more hole-in-the-wall place is to the barbecue Mount Rushmore. Because let's be honest about Caddyshack. And by the way, you know how good Caddyshack is? I go down and get Caddyshack pizza. Not real convenient for my home to go get the Caddyshack pizza.
This is the thing, Rob. You don't want to admit this, but low-key, you like that part of the city. You love a North Kansas City and Crossroads. It's just the thing is, you're so Blue Valley Northwest, you just can't get it in your spirit to move to the part of the city that you like the most. But every time you tell me about places you like to go and you and your wife like to travel to, it's always in the same 3-mile radius. Just move down there.
I like being a tourist in my own city.
Okay, that's fair.
That's what I like. I like that I'm basically a tourist in my own town. I get to go down there, taste, hobnob, enjoy. And then you know what? I don't have to worry about what it looks like Sunday morning. I'm home. I'm in the house. I think Caddyshack is too hole in the wall to be in the Mount Rushmore. I love Caddyshack. I do not know it can be in the top four. Now, I don't know what you're placing it for. Do you put a Buffalo State in the top four? I mean, it's at the airport now, so clearly it views itself as part of the upper echelon of pizza in Kansas City. Do you put an Artego or do you put an Il Lazzarone in there? I don't know what replaces it, but I feel like Caddyshack is a little too dive bar-y, hole in the wall
to be
a Mount Rushmore.
And this is the thing. So a lot of people are saying, hey, some of these Mount Rushmore pizzas I've never heard of. I'm reading the text line and some of these places I've never heard of before that people are saying. I think it's we are not a pizza city. We do some foods incredibly well. Like, if I gave you my Mount Rushmore steak places, you've heard of all of these places or eaten there before. Like, we just do beef and meat really well.
Tacos, barbecue, too. Tacos, we do a great job with tacos.
Barbecue, tacos. We just don't really do great pizza. And that's fine. I mean, you can definitely get yourself a good slice. But I completely understand if you're like, I've never eaten at Waldo's Pizza. I think I've only eaten there like once or twice. The only pizza place that all of us have eaten at is Minsky's and Joe's. That's it. Those are the only two that everybody is eating at. You've had Minsky's at some point in life if you live in Kansas City. Maybe you bought it, you got it catered from somewhere. You have had Minsky's at some point in your life. And if you ever were 21 to 30 in Kansas City, you have had Joe's at some point in your life. You went down there, you had a good time, you waited in that line, you got a slice, you put a little pepper on there, a little honey, and you continued the rest of your evening. Those are the only two places that everybody has been to.
I actually was thinking about when you mentioned Mount Rushmore, does Joe's count? Because I think Joe's is a place we've all been to, so you have
Joe's
to put
is closed
it
now, though. That's the only thing.
Yeah, but isn't it run by Guy's Deli? Like, it's still, it's not Joe's
anymore. It ain't the same. Okay. It ain't the same like how it was before. It ain't the same. It ain't the same. Somebody says, C-Dot, we have good Italian food. I'm with you. I also don't know if you could make a Mount Rushmore of Italian places that feel as comprehensive as barbecue places or steak places. I think barbecue, steak, and tacos, that's what this city does really well when it comes to food. Yeah, you can get great Italian, you can get some great other kind of food. Those three things we do at an incredibly high level, and I would put our food up against just about anybody else's. I will put our taco selection up against just about any city in America.
That's not to say that I agree with you, that we don't do good Italian food. I think Chinese food falls in the same category. There's just not a Mount Rushmore of it. I would say if you did a Mount Rushmore of Italian food, you'd have Garozzo's. What are the next three? I wouldn't even know. Like Chinese food, you'd have Bolling's. What are the next three? So I think that's not to say the city doesn't have good Italian, good Chinese. They just don't have a Mount Rushmore the way they do for barbecue and pizza and all these places. But I think you're kind of – I know Mount Rushmore is supposed to be four. I think it's three locks and then TBD on the fourth one.
Yeah, like I'm sitting here reading it right now. And I if you got Hy-Vee pizza in your top four, we ain't a good pizza place. We ain't making good pizza if Hy-Vee's in your top. That's just if grocery store pizza or gas station pizza's in your top four, we ain't a good pizza place. And that's fine. Hey, we do some things incredibly well. Like I would put if you made a real like a college football or college basketball ranking of barbecue restaurants, I'll put our 17th and 18th up in just about any city of America, and it would be by far and away their best barbecue. You got to focus on what you do well. Pizza just might not be one of those things. Someone is mentioning this Northeast Pizza. Rob, I've never been there. So when Dave Portnoy did it for the One Bite review, I never heard of Northeast Pizza. I want to give it a try now. I mean, he gave it a pretty high score. He gave it a 7.7, but I never heard of Northeast Pizza until yesterday.
I I mean, I mean this in all sincerity, and no disrespect to Northeast Pizza. When we were watching the video, I was like, where is that? Like, not like where in the city was. I didn't know it was a Kansas City thing until I kind of put two and two together. They got a great score, and there's a story in, I believe it's KSHB right now, about how they're seeing a boom in sales because he gave it a good score.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I had never heard of it. I'm excited to try it. Talk about a place that's definitely not in my neck of the woods. It's going to be a real hike for me, but I'm excited to try Northeast Pizza.
Yeah, someone on the text line says, C-Dot, you really like Pizza Shuttle. Oh, the Pizza Shuttle Canadian bacon or bacon and cream cheese pizza, that is a staple on my Sundays. I love Pizza Shuttle. Fantastic pizza. Yes, I love Pizza Shuttle. That might honestly be my favorite place aside from the other place to get pizza from. I love Pizza Shuttle. So yeah, I like Pizza Shuttle more than like any of the pizzas that's on this list. I just don't think that Pizza Shuttle's in the Mount Rushmore. I think it's great pizza. Very good price. I just don't think it's on this Mount Rushmore. I think it's Minsky's, Grinders, Waldo, and Caddyshack. And I'll swap out Caddyshack for Il Lazzarone. I think that's the list. Coming up on the other side, Joshua Briscoe is going to join us in studio. We'll talk Chiefs. Keep it right here. So drive.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.